Well, good morning on this seventh Sunday of Easter. As we gather together again, now let me share these words with you that come from Isaiah, the 26th chapter, verses 8 and 9. In the path of your judgments, O Lord, we wait for you. Your name and your renown are the soul's desire. My soul yearns for you in the night. My spirit within me earnestly seeks you. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. This is also Memorial Day weekend, so I hope that you have said some prayers for those who have kept our country safe, but have also provided us with the country that we have. We need to express great thanks not only to them, but also to their families who have sacrificed so much that we might be able to live in this world following God the way God wants us to and the way we feel called by God in our country. Let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Almighty and gracious Lord, what a powerful and wonderful day this is. And what a powerful and wonderful God that you are. For you have come into the midst of this world to guide us and direct us. You have come to sustain us and to help us as we continue to walk in your ways. But Lord, as we see the awesomeness that you are, as we see your incredible character and all the traits that you have, we realize that we are so different. And sometimes we're so far from where you want us to be. So Lord, we come now and we open our minds and our hearts to you. And we want to acknowledge to you that we are sinners, that we have fallen from the path of grace that you've designed for us. So we come to you and we confess to you our sins. We open up our lives and our hearts to you. Help us to name the things that you name sin as sin. And help us to examine and reflect upon those areas of our life that we might be able to change and transform by the very work of your Holy Spirit in our lives. What a blessing it is that your scripture says that when we confess our sins, that you will cleanse us, that you will make us righteous, that you will see us now as your daughters and sons. Thank you for that assurance. Thank you for that great understanding of what you have done for us. And Lord, we want to thank you also for Jesus Christ, who was so willing to set aside all of his rights and privileges and come here and walk upon this earth in a way that we could know you better, that we could understand the spiritual life better. We thank you for his teachings and for those who took the time to write them down. They might be passed down through the centuries, even for us. So Lord, we just thank you for all that he has done for us. We especially thank you for the cross, because we know that there we have atonement for our sins. Lord, thank you for the empty tomb. It's that today that we celebrate once again, because we also know that you have victory over death. And that when we believe in your Son and what he has done for us, that one day we will be bodily resurrected also to live for all eternity with you. But Lord, we also come to you this morning with many concerns upon our hearts. We know those who have cancer and that are going through treatments. And we want to ask, Lord, that those treatments would work, that it would kill the cancer cells, and that these folks would be cancer-free, and that they could come back and be in our fellowship in a way that they were before, with strength and power. We also know folks that are dealing with the coronavirus right now, and we think about those, and we ask that you would put your healing hand upon them. Lord, it's touching a great number of folks in our country and around the world, and we know that you can bring healing. We know that you can bring the understanding for a cure, for a vaccine. You can kill and eradicate this disease even right now. So, Lord, we pray for that. We pray for all of those who are on the front lines, working to try to help folks. We pray that you would keep them safe. We also want to pray with great thanks today for those who have prepared this nation for us, some who have given their lives, and we thank you for them. We thank you not only for them, but also for their families and for all that they've done in service to our country. And Lord, we just pray that our country would continue to be one where we could serve you fully the way that you're calling us to. What a great thing it is to know that you are a God who is concerned about the things that we are concerned about. You're a God who cares deeply about what we care about. So we thank you for hearing our prayers. And Lord, we pray that you would open our ears and our eyes, our mind and our hearts this morning, that we might hear from your word the message that you have for us, that we might understand what that message is, and that we might move forward in the midst of this world in a way that would bring glory and honor to you by the way we live our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today is the last Sunday before Pentecost. Next Sunday is Pentecost, when we celebrate the very birthday of the church. It's when the Holy Spirit comes to live in the midst of all believers. Before that day, the Holy Spirit was only with those that God set the Spirit upon. But now, when you believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live in the midst of your lives. But today, before we get to the day of Pentecost, I want to read to you a scripture that has a story in it that comes from 10 days before the birthday of the church. Jesus Christ is still with his disciples, and I want you to hear what they ask him and what he has to say to them. So listen to these words found in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. Then they gathered around him and they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. 10 days before the day of Pentecost, and Jesus is there with the disciples, giving them a word, when they ask him a question. You see, people have a great tendency to look in the wrong direction. We do it all the time, and we miss so many things. This simple fact that we tend to look in the wrong direction can make magicians and illusionists very successful. You see, they guide you to look in one direction while they manipulate or change something in a completely different direction. And while they're doing that, you turn back and see what they've manipulated, and you are completely surprised by what they've been able to do. And it's all because we so easily look in the wrong direction. The disciples, in this case, are looking in the wrong direction. They are more concerned about a future event than a present one. They want to know when the kingdom of God will come in its fullness. They want to see the kingdom of God in its fullness. If nothing else, they want to see the Roman rulers gone. They want to know that they can live in their country the way that God wants them to live, without being oppressed or being taken advantage of. They're looking so much for Jesus to set everything right, right now. But you see, they're looking at a future event. They're not looking at what's happening in the here and now. They wanted to know if this was the time that Jesus would bring the kingdom of God in all of its fullness. Sometimes we want to see the same thing, don't we? But I want you to see what Jesus does as Jesus talks to them. Because Jesus wanted them to understand what needs to happen in the now, the moment that they lived in, which was much more important than the moment of the future for them. Jesus wanted them to pay attention to the now. He first tells them that the times and dates of when the kingdom of God will come in its complete fullness is not for them to know. And even today, we still have folks that are trying to predict that day and trying to tell us exactly when that day and hour is going to come so that we would be prepared. But Jesus told them it was not for them to know. I don't think it's for us to know either. Some continue to say that it's just around the corner, it could happen at any moment. I'm not so sure that that's the case. Look at what Jesus tells them next. He says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He still didn't give them a date and time. He just let them know that this was going to happen, that they would receive the Holy Spirit and have the power to live the life that God is calling them to live in the now. And then he tells them that once they have that Holy Spirit, that they would be his witnesses. Now, the Greek word for witness is martyron, which is where our word martyr comes from. One who is willing to live fully and completely for what they believe in, even if it costs them their lives. And Jesus did tell them that it was going to cost some of them their lives to live for him. But he says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. You will tell my story to those that are around you. You would tell it to those who need to know me. He says, first, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in the town that you live in. That's where you'll be speaking first. That's where you'll be sharing the story of Jesus Christ and what I have done upon the cross, my teachings, my miracles, and you will share the story about the empty tomb. All of these are part of the gospel that need to be shared with folks. First, in the town that they lived in. Then he says, you will be my witnesses in all Judea and Samaria. Jerusalem was a town in the country of Judea. And Samaria was the country just to the north of them. First, you will be my witnesses in the town you live in, and then the state in which you live in, and then the state next to you. All of you will truly be my witnesses by sharing what you know about Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, it won't stop there, but you will share my witness to people all the way around the world. Folks, the disciples were more concerned about the kingdom of God coming in its fullness now. And Jesus says, that's not for you to know about. That's not for you to understand about. What you need to do is receive the Holy Spirit. And once you receive that Holy Spirit, which would happen on the day of Pentecost, then you will be my witnesses. Here, in this state, in this country, and around the world. Jesus wanted them to understand what needs to happen in the now, the moment they lived in, which was much more important than worrying about the future. Jesus explained to them about the Holy Spirit many times, and especially the night before he was crucified, he shared with them about the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit would be the one who would come and help them, guide them, direct them, teach them in things that they were not ready to understand yet while he was here. But most of all, the Holy Spirit would lead them to share with other people about Jesus Christ. You know, as I thought about this passage this week, I realized that today we do the same thing. We have a great tendency to look to the future and not live in the present, not live in the now. We're looking to the future, and especially now, many are asking the question, Lord, is now the time when this current pandemic will be over? Is now the time when this situation which I live in the midst of will be gone? Is now the time when you will bring the kingdom of God in all of its fullness and will live in your presence for all eternity? Is now the time when all these things will happen? I think as we ask these questions, especially when we ask the question, Lord, is now the time when this current pandemic will be over? I think Jesus' answer to us is, now is the time for you to allow the Holy Spirit to live and love through you so that others can come to me. Listen, I really think this is what Jesus is saying to us at this time. Now is the time for you to allow the Holy Spirit to live and love through you so you can come to me and so others can come to me also. You see, Jesus has left us here. Once we believed in him, we've been left here that we might share with other folks what we know about Jesus Christ. Now is the time for us to be witnesses. Now is the time for us to share. Now is the time for us to let other people know that they can accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because what he has done for them upon the cross. You see, the Holy Spirit has already been given to us. Next week, we'll look into the scripture about that very birthday of the church when the Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost with so many believers there in Jerusalem and what happens then. And the excitement that happens then brings many to Christ. Can we live that excitement? Can we live allowing the Holy Spirit to live in and through us? Now you see, once Jesus was raised up into heaven, right there in their presence, they stood there just gaping at the heaven, just watching what had happened. But two men came and said, "Why are you staring? Why are you just standing still? Why are you looking? Jesus will come back one day. And he will return the same way that you saw him leave." And off they went to the upper room. Maybe some of the authorities were still after them. Maybe some folks were still looking for them and they were afraid of being crucified just as Jesus was because they believed in him. But look at what they did. The 11 disciples, along with others, some being Mary, Jesus' mother, and Jesus' half-brothers, they went to the upper room to pray and to spend some time trying to understand and prepare themselves that the Holy Spirit might live in them and through them in the days to come. You know, for us, we need to do the same thing. It's a simple change of focus for us. Instead of focus on what's going to happen in the future, now it's time to focus on the present. It's a simple change of focus by listening to the leading of the Holy Spirit in prayer. And as we come to God in prayer and the Holy Spirit speaks within the midst of our hearts, I truly believe that God will show us where we need to be witnesses, where we need to share, and where we need to allow the Holy Spirit to live through us. So I want to ask you to think about this question for this week. Do you need to change your focus from when will this be over to let me show you the Christ I know? Instead of waiting, instead of concentrating on when will this be over, what if the people of the church were out there and sharing with folks and saying to them, "Let me show you the Jesus Christ that I know, the one who died for my sins, that I might be sanctified and made righteous, that I might live with God and have the Holy Spirit within me to give me the power to be a witness." Is it time for you to change your focus from when will this be over to going out and letting people know about the Jesus Christ that saved your soul? Let us pray. Lord, what a blessing it is that you have given us the Holy Spirit to live within our lives, and that we can allow that Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to teach us, to encourage us, to support us, to empower us to be your witnesses. And Lord, that's what this world needs. It doesn't need a bunch of us sitting in a corner somewhere wondering when this will be over. but it needs us to take some time in prayer and see how you're guiding us through the Holy Spirit to speak to those around us. So may we listen this week, and may we share this week, because there are many who need to know you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. To finish our time this morning, I want to read for you from Isaiah chapter 25, verse 9. It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." May the Holy Spirit lead you to share that salvation with someone else this week.